Reading from the book of Romans, going to dive right in tonight. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about. Book of Romans, chapter 1, starting with verse 16. It is a verse that we know, and maybe you can quote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile." Just hold that there. Paul is writing, and he's writing to a group of Christians that would be very easy for them to feel like they're in a minority. They are in Rome. They are under the presence of this might and power that is so visible part of Rome. And it would be very easy for them to just kind of bow in underneath that and say, "Oh, we're less. We up against what we see, maybe we don't have it." And Paul is reminding them, he says, "Don't you back down. You need to understand what you've been given. That what you have is literally, I mean, the power of God, the power of God." And it isn't a temporary thing. You see Rome, you know, this is all going to come to an end. You know, you see these buildings, these things have a limited shelf life. But what you have is the power of God that leads to an eternal win, unto salvation. You have been something, been given something great. And don't you dare back down. He goes on this next verse. He says this, he says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed." And we look at that word and what it means. It is the nature of God. It is how God works. It is the understanding of God. It is who God is. In this thing that you've been given, you have the opportunity to discover how God thinks, works, operates, all of the nature of God. The righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, so important, from first to last. And he's saying this, is that this thing that you have been given, this faith, this connection with God, this learning about what God has for you, learning how God is and how he works, it is from the very moment that you start believing, from first to last. Meaning this, that you never outgrow growing in God. You never outgrow the need to discover more about who God is, what God is, how God works, how God thinks, how God plans, what God has for you. There is never a time in your life when you can just hit the pause button and say, "I'm done." He says this, from first to last. And he summarizes it this way. He says, it's written that the righteous will live by faith. Meaning this just needs to be part of who you are. This discovery process of God, this desire to learn more about God. He says, look, you got to grow. You got to mature. You have to keep growing. Turn to somebody and tell them it's time to grow up. Time to grow up. When we talk about maturity, maturity is understanding why and how it changes what we do. If you ask a child and you say, "Hey, we're thinking about having dessert for dinner from here on out," every kid with a normal brain is going to go, "Yeah, that sounds good to me, Mom and Dad. That sounds awesome. That sounds like a plan." If you were to go to our Wumbaland and say, "How many want cookies for every meal?" You're going to get a high percentage of them going, "Yes, thank God. Finally, they saw the light." Okay? And again, there's nothing wrong with dessert. Love it. Nothing wrong with cookies. Love them. But those of us that are mature understand the reason why we can't do that. We've matured. We have information and we're acting on that information. Nothing wrong with a cookie, but you can't have them every meal. We understand how the body works. We understand how much too much sugar, you know, isn't giving you the right nutrients, isn't giving you what you need. And Paul is saying this to these Christians and saying, look, understand what you have. You have this limitless, incredible, powerful gift to understand God. And it's your responsibility to grow and mature, because when you begin to understand how God works, when you begin to understand how God thinks, when you begin to understand how God moves, it brings clarity to the actions that God asks you to do. Now, a good child, an obedient child, if you tell them you can't have cookies for supper, okay, they will maybe grumble and complain a little bit, but they will succumb. Why? Not because they understand, but because they are submitting to authority. Here's the thing. As we grow in Christ, an immature believer, looks at things that God asks him to do, and there's kind of this grumbling, it's kind of this fight. It's kind of like, oh, I'll do it just because, you know, just because. And we don't understand. But here is what Paul is saying. He says, I don't want you to stay at that point. I want you to grow and mature so that you have this understanding that as God works and how God moves, you go, oh, that's how it fits together. Oh, that's how it works. Oh, I see this. And as a result of understanding more about God, we have protection. We have direction. We have the ability to move around things that could cause us trouble. We have the ability to allow our faith to grow because we understand this is how God works and we see how it fits together. And it's more than just the child relationship with, okay, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to submit. And he says, look, it's more than that. I want you to grow. I want you to become mature believers. And he goes on, and we can go into depth, but this isn't what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm saying all this is because a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago on Sunday, and again, thank you for all of those that filled in last Sunday. You don't know what a joy it is to be able to leave and be at total peace, that you're not going to come back to carnage from being gone a week, that everything goes smooth. In fact, it probably goes better when I'm not here. But thank you to all those that helped. But 2 weeks ago, I talked about how God was leading me to teach different on Sunday mornings. It's not about a topic, but it's about who I'm talking to. And it's changed, and I'm really enjoying it, because praying differently, not what should I say, but God, who do I need to speak to? And so 2 weeks ago, we talked to people who felt that they were over their heads, that they were at their limit, that they were just over their head, and God ministered in a beautiful way. And in the same way, on Wednesdays here, and again, we're going to take some time out for VBS, I understand that, but God is leading and saying, hey, it's time to grow up. We can't just be having little baby food all the time. We've developed our Sunday morning environment because we have so many new faces. We have so many new people that we want to be able to teach them at that level. But that's not the level that I want you to stay at. And so on Wednesdays here, till God changes his mind, we're going to talk about some meat. We're going to talk about some things that are going to allow us to grow up. And as a result of that, we're going to be able to look at life situations, things that we're going through, things around us, and go, oh, now I understand. Oh, I see how that works together. Oh, I see how God fits that together, because that is God's plan for you. Again and again through scriptures, he says, I don't want you to stay ignorant. I don't want you to remain children. I want you to grow and mature, that God has a plan for you. And again, we need to keep growing. Turn to somebody, tell them we got to keep growing. Spiritually. All right. Say, again, Sunday morning, be here, work, help. A lot of new people. But Wednesday, need to be here to grow. All right. We're going to continue in this chapter. I'm going to move forward just a couple of verses. I'm going to read through a passage. I'm going to read through it all at once. Then we're going to circle back. And there's some incredible, powerful principles here that I think are really going to help. And you're going to be able to go from here and maybe look at some circumstances in your life or in others' lives. And they go, oh, I see this. Get a better understanding of how God works. So we're going to move forward a few verses, staying in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read through it all, and then we'll circle back around and dig in. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And Carol, I'm just going to blast through these, so just keep going. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Verse 25, he says this. He says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And in this part, he goes on, he begins to list all of the horrible things that they were involved in. He goes through and just starts going through the list. And I want to skip down a couple of verses. He gets past the list to verse 28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. Now, let's just be honest. If you were reading through your Bible and we're just reading through, that's some heavy words. That's some heavy lifting there. And it's oftentimes we can just kind of go brain dead, brain numb, and I'm just kind of looking at the words. And I just need to get through this chapter so I can check off the box in my reading plan. But I want to stop, go a little bit deeper, because there is so much incredible depth here as we begin to look into this. In this chapter, and after verse 28, he goes on to list even more horrible outcomes that happen, okay? He goes on and talks about all of these crash landings, so to speak, okay? Where he says, look, they started off like this, and they're going into all of these disastrous outcomes. But all of these negative things are launched and all stem from the initial action found in verse 21. And I want to pull that up again. Verse 21, it says this. We just read it. For although they knew God. Now understand who he's talking about here. He is not talking about outsiders. He is talking about people that at one point in their life had a relationship with God. There is a recognition of God. It's not, I never heard about this. Deity, I didn't know anything about him. It's like, no, you know who he is. There is a relationship. Even though they knew God, had a relationship, yet they still had all of these things happen to them. The rest of the verses that they became futile, they became dark, they became all these things began to fall apart in their life. And why would that happen? Somebody having a relationship with God, why would they end up in such a horrible place? Well, we see it right here is because something shifted. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him. And when we look at this word glorify, we look at the root word, and what it means is this, is to put God in his proper position. To have him lifted up to where he is Lord, meaning that everything else is in alignment. And the way that we look at it in our life, the practical way is this. Am I prioritizing the things of God first? Is God God in my life? Am I glorifying him as number one? Does my priorities, does my actions, does my decisions indicate that he is number one? They knew God, but yet they didn't prioritize God, nor gave thanks. And we get this word thanks or worship or the focus or the responsibility or the reason behind it is upon God. When we worship God, what do we say? We say, God, thank you for, and we list the things that God has done. We say, Lord, I worship you, why? And we begin to say the things that God has done, recognizing that they come from him. The shift happens when the focus moves away from God and we begin to feel responsible for the wonderful and blessed things in our life. When we begin to feel that, you know what, I've earned it, I've worked hard, you know, I'm part of this, and moving the focus away from God. He says, oh, they knew God, but they didn't prioritize God. They didn't worship God. They didn't focus on God. And as a result, things begin to break. And here is principle. This is good. This is right here. I wrote this down. You need to write this down as part of your notes. The pathway to destruction, the pathway to sin, so often begins with a change in our priorities or our worship. The pathway to sin, the pathway to destruction, so often begins with a change in our priorities or our worship. Let's look at this in a positive standpoint. If you can think back in a time in your life when you went all in for God, all in. It's like, whatever you say, God, yes, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. You're all in. Okay? And you're worshiping God and you're glorifying God. God, whatever you say, I'm doing it. And God, I give you praise. You're the one that all this is good coming from. You're the one to be glorified. What happened in your life? You began to see the blessings of God. You began to see God working and the wonderful things of God. When we begin to honor him in what we do. Jason's not here, but he told the story here a few weeks ago where he was at a place where he was working. He had rented a machine. It was a Wednesday night. He was running late. And he says, look, I can stay and work and miss church. He says, because if I don't, then they're going to fine me for getting the machine in late. Okay, and it's going to cost me money, and it's going to be a mess. I'm not going to be able to turn it the next day, and it's going to cost me money. But he said, okay, God, I'm going to prioritize or glorify you, even though it's going to cost me something. So he parked the machine, came to church on Wednesday night, and he says, honestly, he says, you know, it was tough because I knew coming here was going to cost me something. But yet he put God first. We had a wonderful prayer meeting that night. God moved. The next day, he called up and said, I need to return this late. What's the fee? And they said, oh, no fee whatsoever. Don't worry about that. We won't charge you anything extra. He went back the next day to finish the job, and as he was working on the job, somebody came up to him that hadn't seen him yesterday and said, hey, I saw you working this morning. I've got a whole other job that I would like you to do that was more than double the amount of the original job that he was working on. And you know this. We all have stories in our life, and it may not be monetarily. It may be emotionally. It may be relationally, where we just said, when I went all in for God, God didn't drop the ball. God was there for me. But here's the thing. We all have times in our life where we've drifted, where we've walked from God, where we've allowed that relationship with God to cool. And if we could just for a moment begin to rewind back through our lives, you will begin to see that what Paul is telling him is so true. There's a shift. You know, what used to be important to me isn't really that important to me anymore. What I used to prioritize, I don't really prioritize anymore. What I didn't used to question, now I'm struggling with a little bit. And you can look in your own life. If there is that time where you begin to drift from God, I guarantee it was something. Maybe I'm not coming to church as often. I'm justifying not being there. And I'm struggling with paying my tithes or justify serving. And just all of these things that used to be there, there's a shift in it. And I'm prioritizing them differently. And again, it doesn't happen immediately. It's like you miss one service and then God strikes you with a lightning bolt and you get fired, you know, and, you know, kids don't want anything to do with you. It doesn't work that way. But what Paul is saying is this, is it's a shift. It's a turn of direction. That knowing God, they shifted. And as a result, they began to head in a different direction. And we can see it in our lives. You can see in the lives of others who walked away from God, who maybe aren't where they are with God now. And you can go back and say, you know what? They begin to prioritize life differently. They begin to focus differently. It's true. They didn't glorify God like they used to. Didn't worship God like they used to. And Paul is saying, that's where it begins. That's where it begins. It's your choice. Because here's the thing. God honors our choice. And if you're asking me to define that and to explain that, I can't explain that. I don't know why God gave us a choice. It'd be a whole lot easier if he said, you're going to do this or else. You just have no choice. Okay? It'd be a whole lot simpler. But yet God gave us a choice, and he honors our decision, both good and bad. That when I choose to honor him, he blesses. And when I choose to dishonor him, there is a reaction from God as well. And Paul's telling this. He says, they shifted. They don't glorify God. They don't worship God. And look at what God did. Look at these next couple of verses here. He summarizes. He says, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. They shifted direction. And so God honored that decision and said, okay, your choice. It goes on, verses, I think it's 25, 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Because of the shift, because of their action, because of their decision, God says, okay, I'm going to honor your decision. Here you go. Another verse. 28. There, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so what? God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. God said, okay, I'm going to honor your decision. I'm going to honor your decision. Again, this is all the way through, and I just pulled a verse out of the Old Testament just to show this isn't just a New Testament thing. Psalms. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. God says, look, I'm going to honor your choice, good or bad. And Paul is saying, when we lose sight of the priority, when we lose sight of our worship, we begin to turn and God will respond. God honors our choices. And here's the thing. our choices can make us ignorant of just how stupid we are. Look at this, verse 22. Although they, what's the word? Claimed to be wise, they became fools. Not going to prioritize God anymore. Take the focus off of God, with God's blessing. I'm going to make it more comfortable for me. I'm going to make it easier for me. I'm going to make it a little bit more about me. And as a result, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm okay. No, you're stupid. That's what Paul is writing. You ever meet somebody that was wrong and refused to admit it? Hopefully it wasn't you, okay? I mean, you had a group of people that agreed this person's wrong, and yet they go on, and the more they try to defend their wrongness, the stupider they look, you know, in your perspective. It's like, you're just getting dumber all the time. You know, I've never known anybody that could actually have a negative IQ score, but you're coming dangerously close. Dangerously close. Because you're unaware, and yet you're acting like you are. And Paul is saying, they claim to be wise. They shifted their direction and they kept acting like everything was good, and they didn't realize that they were headed in the wrong direction. Another bit of wisdom for you here, taking notes, our machine is kind of blipping out here. But wisdom is not a declaration. Wisdom is not a declaration. I can feel that I'm right. I can think that I'm right. I can say that I'm right, and I can do it all day long, but that doesn't make me right. I can declare that I'm right. I can declare that I'm wise. I can declare that I'm okay with God, but that doesn't make it true. That doesn't make it true. They claimed to be wise but became fools. Why? Why? Whoa, coming through here. That was weird. Yeah, I'm just going to turn this off there. This is why you should bring your Bibles. You just never know when it's going to go out on you here. Okay, why did they become fools? Because they let go of something. And here's the truth. Wisdom is not a declaration. Wisdom is based on what I have hold of. Verse 23 says this. And they exchanged the glory. The key word is the exchange. I had something. I had the glory. I had the power. But they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mere human being and birds and animals and reptiles. There was an exchange. Verse 25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. And what I would say to anyone is listening tonight is this: be careful what you're exchanging. Be careful what you're exchanging. You need to understand that it is not letting go or just choosing not, but you are always exchanging something. There's a beautiful story in New Testament, and Jesus has reached the height of his fame. He is as popular as he's ever going to be. He's got people around him. He's got disciples. He's got people there, you know, writing down everything he says. He's got big crowds. And he gets up to preach this sermon, and the disciples are expecting something good. I mean, Jesus, you are as popular as you have ever been. I mean, come on, you've got more Instagram likes than anybody. You know, you're top on Facebook. And just, I mean, you are trending. You are trending, Jesus. Preach something good. Do another miracle. Feed them again. I mean, this is good, because when Jesus gets popular, you know, we get popular. It works kind of good. And in scripture, Jesus teaches one of the strangest messages of all time. At the peak of his popularity, he preaches this. He says, hey, you want to follow me? You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, those of us on the other side of Calvary understand what that means, and it doesn't weird us out. We understand what he was talking about. But they had no clue. I mean, can you imagine going into a job interview and it's like, hey, you want a job here? Great. You got to eat flesh and drink blood. It's like, oh, dear, what place is this? Okay? And it messed up the crowd. It messed up the disciples. It says that they left. They couldn't handle it. And their viewpoint was this: I don't know if I can hold on to this anymore. I'm just going to let go. And they missed it. And Peter is there and he's considering it. And Jesus speaks right to Peter's heart and he says, are you going to go too? Are you going to go too? And Peter says something so profound and so beautiful, and it gives me hope. He says this. And what he's saying is, the essence is this: I don't know that I understand what you said. I'm wrestling with it. It's hard for me. It's difficult for me. But honestly, there is nothing better for me to grab hold of. He says this. He says, where would we go? Who else is offering the word of life? Meaning, I don't have to understand it. I can be wrestling with it. I can have doubts, but I'm not leaving because I understand that I am exchanging something, and there is nothing better to exchange. Now, here's what we're getting back to. Be careful what you exchange. When you choose not to attend service, what are you exchanging? When you say, I'm not putting in my personal study time, what are you exchanging it for? When you're saying, I'm not going to serve, what are you exchanging? When you say, I'm not going to give, what are you exchanging? Understand that there is an exchange. And here's the thing, as we begin to turn, as we begin to justify and say, you know what, I'm good with God, even though I'm not doing everything that he said. And even though maybe, you know, there was a time in my life where I was closer to God, but everything's good. What we're really doing is exchanging what we used to have for things that look a whole lot more like you and me. It best fits my schedule. It best fits what I want. It best fits what makes me comfortable. It's in my image. It's in the things that I enjoy. And what used to be a priority, what used to be number one, I'm shifting. And here's the thing, I'm believing my own lie. And I'm getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And I'm exchanging more and more and more until I've reached one of the conclusions that he's talking about in this passage. Say, it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well at all. Be careful what you exchange. Be careful what you exchange. It says, as you discover the nature of God and the will of God, you're going to have a choice to either adopt it and honor it or to exchange it for something that best fits you. And the result is dishonoring it. But understand, there is a ramification to your choice. God will honor your choice. And what Paul is saying here, he says, look, I want you to see the connection. I don't want you to stay ignorant. I want you to see how this works. That when we shift our priorities and when we shift our focus, we're changing a direction. And the more we head in that direction, the dumber and the blinder we become to it. Then as we begin to head in the wrong way starts looking like the right way. And we can say all of the right things and we can claim all of the right things. But the truth is that we are heading in the wrong way. He summarizes in verse 25, he says this, and they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. In the lie that we so often in our culture buy into, that we exchange the truth of God for the lie. The lie that's so prevalent in our culture is simply this: God's okay with it. God's okay with it. God understands. You know, I'm not putting him first in everything, but you know, God understands. You know, I'm not holding up on, you know, all the things I used to think, and you know, I'm not really moving forward, but you know, it's a busy time. God understands. I mean, it's summer. God understands. It's busy. God understands. You know, it's a different era now. God understands. You know what? I've never found a verse in there that backs up that theology. And I read through the Bible every year. It's the first book I read every year. I would start off, read through the Bible. I've never found it where it says, you know what, God said this, but if you don't want to, God says, okay, that's cool. There's no verse in there where it says, well, God will take my advice. That if I don't want to do what God says to do, then he's going to say, well, you know what, that's fine with me. You just do whatever. Whatever works best for you. But yet, how many live from that perspective and declare to be wise? I'm good. I'm okay. Nothing's slipping. Nothing's changing. Hey, I'm still good. I can live like he's not God and still claim that everything is fine. And Paul's saying, wait a second, you need to see this. You need to see how this works. It's not going to end well. And here is the power of this truth, this verse, the summary of this simply says this, that when you serve the creation over the creator, you can no longer claim to have the truth. And as harsh as that is, it's as true as it gets. There is no such thing as a carnal Christian. There's no such thing as a casual Christian. There's no such thing as Christian-ish. A couple of years ago, I was going through back some slides, and if you remember on the screen, I put two light switches up here. And one was a dimmer. Anybody remember this? One was a dimmer, and one was an on-off switch. And for the majority of people, we think our relationship with God is like the first one, the dimmer. That, you know what, I'm going to burn it just a little brighter, I'm tone it down. But when we look to Scripture, we see that Scripture says, look, I am either God or I'm not. I'm either Lord of your life or I'm not. And this is what Paul is saying. He's like, I want you to understand, be careful. Be careful, understand. Understand, when you start to lessen, don't think that it's okay. When you start to see somebody saying, you know, we used to hold on to that, but we don't hold on to that anymore. And you know, we used to do that, but you know what, I don't think that's that important anymore. When it's key to God's word, watch out. They're claiming to be right, and they're wrong. They're wrong. You can't have it both ways. You're showing your ignorance. Here's the thing, and this is what it comes down to. There's just a way to think about that. This is that we define God's position in our life, not, you put up the next slide, because I remember what I wrote. God's position is not defined in the areas you agree, but in the areas you don't. And here's the thing. We think, well, me and God agree on this. We're good. But this one area where we don't agree, or this one area where there's a conflict between what I want and what God wants, well, I'm just going to win that fight, but then we're going to go back to all the stuff that we agree in. Lordship is defined when you don't agree. Lordship is defined by who wins the argument. Because who wins the argument, you've just decided who is Lord of your life. Well, that seems rather harsh. God understands. I'm good. Paul's saying, man, I'm writing about you. I can point where you're going to be headed. I can point out how life is going to head for you. He's saying, pay attention. Pay attention. Are you glorifying God? Are you worshiping God? Are you growing in your faith? He says, I want you to see the connection. Okay? Can't shift our priorities or focus. It's going to point us to destruction. When we start heading that way, we become ignorant to it. And we can say all the right things, but the truth is we've exchanged truth for a lie, and we don't even realize that something is wrong. If any of you have ever backslid, and again, I don't wish on anybody, but I think every one of us here, if we're honest, have had a time where we went away from God. There's that moment where we realize, where we stop and we realize in that moment of clarity, and I'm thankful for that moment of clarity, and we ask ourselves, how did we get here? How did I get here? I thought everything was good. I thought everything was okay, and all of a sudden I'm looking around and I'm in a mess. Life is falling all around me. I'm part of the list. I'm experiencing all of the things that happened. How did I get here? And Paul is saying, oh, you understand. You were ignorant to it. You're ignorant to it. Thinking everything's good. Thinking you got to figure it out. But you know what? You're not doing it God's way. You're doing it your way. And you're heading in the wrong direction. And as a result, God honored your decision. That's why it's so important that we're constantly seeking God in our life. Not our will, but God's will. This last series that we went through, I think it was so powerful. Those first two prayers. God, break me. Oh, if we would continue to pray that in our life. God, break me. Or the first one, God, search me. God, what needs to change in my life? Paul is saying you need to be aware of this, and therefore you need to pray that way. God, search my heart. God, I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to assume everything is okay. Even Jesus talked about it. He says, on that day, there's going to come a time when we all get to heaven and somebody's going to say, hey, I'm in. And God's going to say, no, you're not. You were fooling yourself. You were living the lie. You knew me. And you did some good things, some amazing things. But you know what? You didn't glorify me. You didn't prioritize me. You didn't worship me. You didn't recognize that. And as a result, you believe the lie. And now, decision over, game over. That we can't become comfortable in that and just become stagnant. We've got to keep seeking God. We've got to keep asking God, Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, lay it upon my heart. It's very important that we have people around us that we make ourselves accountable and open to wisdom. We talked about that in the last couple of weeks where we find wisdom, where we go to somebody that meets the criteria spiritually, biblically of good, wise counsel. And we say, look at my life. What am I fooling myself? Is there a danger area that I'm not aware of? Is there something going on that I'm not paying attention to? And again, allowing God to use his body to help us and guide us and gives us wisdom. And as a result, as we learn about the things of God, and as we have faith and act in those things of God, as we talked about at the beginning of this, that we don't compromise, that we don't justify it out of the way, but say, God, I'm learning more about you. And as a result, I am acting more in expectation of that. I'm obeying more. I think one of the marks of spiritual maturity, and I didn't write this down, was this knowledge of God and obedience of God. It's the handshake of those two equals spiritual maturity. Knowledge of God and obedience to God. I know a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge of God, but they don't obey God. And as a result, they're spiritually immature. They don't get it. Still arguing with God. They don't understand. I know people that are willing to obey God no matter what, but have no knowledge of God, and therefore they're going, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but they haven't taken the time to learn and to grow, to understand the way of God. You can't just say yes and not learn about God. We can't just say, Lord, if there's something you want me to do, show me, otherwise I'm just going to do what I want to do. No, we've got to grow. We've got to mature. We've got to dig deeper. God has something more. And as we grow, we become more secure. We become stronger. We become able to weather storms more. We understand why God is leading us in direction. There's a peace that comes as a result of it. Why? Because we are growing. We are maturing. We're not just sitting still. And let me close with this. Let me just say this. As a church, we have a blessed, blessed, blessed high percentage of new faces in our church. And I'm so thankful for that. That is the coolest, coolest thing ever. We're reaching people, all right? I still want to see that growing. We're not going to stop. We're just going to keep reaching new people. I was going back through some of our numbers, and it's just so exciting. We're reaching new people. It's exciting. So far this year, we've had 14. You get the Holy Ghost or get baptized. That's awesome. It's not high enough, more to come, but that's good. New people. And we celebrate their new baby steps. Hey, they repented, awesome. Hey, they gave up this vice, man, that's awesome. hey, you know, doing, you know, you're taking that first couple of steps. Oh, man, that's awesome. But here's the thing. There is a danger in us becoming comfortable with that being the level of maturity that God has for us. It's like, oh, we're celebrating these first steps. I'm pretty good. No. We cannot allow new babes to define where we need to be in God. You've got to grow. You've got to mature. I mean, in the same way, you know, if you've got an infant, you don't want to be sharing the same food. All right, honey, you and me, baby, smashed peas. Here's one for you. There you go, baby. And then one for daddy. Mmm. And after this, we got creamed carrots. Mmm. Nom, 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 nom. That's just weird. That's weird. It's not natural. Here's the thing. God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow. And God has enabled you to grow. And my job as a pastor isn't to feed you. Some of you are like, well, how many have heard, oh, I'm just not being fed here? That is so non-scriptural. You look at what scripture says, it's like, feed yourself, grow up. Grow up. We feed babies. You're not a baby. If you've got a 15-year-old that you still have to feed, something is wrong. If you're still feeding your husband, something's wrong. If I'm still feeding you, something's wrong. And what I want to do over these next Wednesday nights is to talk and get into some depth of Scripture and allow God to move and allow God to anchor some things and teach us how to study and how God wants to speak and show us and illuminate things that isn't baby food. This isn't baby food. There's a depth and a richness here. And here's what we begin to find out, that God is greater than you can ever imagine. That you have not tapped out God's ability or God's depth, but God has more that he wants to show you and lead you. God has more that he wants to challenge you. God has more that he wants to grow you. Your game is not over. Stop judging your salvation based upon new believers. Well, I've repented, I've been baptized, I've got the Holy Ghost, I'm good. That's us saying, I'm born, life is over. Think of all the things you've done since you were born. And pretty amazing things, hopefully. What are you doing since you've been born again? God's saying, it's time to grow. It's time to mature. It's time to start to dig a little bit and begin to understand the depth of what God is from start and to finish, from when you first believe until God calls us home one way or another. God has something more. So here's the question I'm going to leave us with. Where are you growing? Where is God taking you next? Where is God leading you? Where are you growing? You say, man, I've never been at this, but I'm growing in an area that I've never grown before. God's challenging me in an area I've never been challenged before. I'm reaching a deeper depth. I'm doing more for God. I'm becoming more of what God wants me to become. And that doesn't mean that we just put the pause button on and just say, I'm good, because we're lying to ourselves. We've got to keep growing. Got to keep growing. And that's the exciting part, because the more we know about God, the greater God becomes. The more joy we experience, the more peace we experience, the more continued gifts that God gives we experience. But we've got to keep growing. All right? Amen. All right. We're not going to have groups tonight. And there's a hearty amen to that. But I do want to open up. Does anybody have any question? Question, comment, profound insight, correction. Remember when the first place I ever preached, the pastor got up right after I preached and did a correction, supposedly of all the things I got wrong. And it's not that I got him wrong. It was just he was that kind of guy. But if I got something wrong, anybody? Anybody want to grow? Anybody feel that God has something more for you than what you have now? You may not even know what it is, but just say, God, oh, here I am. God, I don't want to live a lie. God, I don't want to fool myself. I want all that what you have for me. God has so many great things for this church and for what he is doing here. But here's the thing. He needs mature people to help lead and disciple those that he's bringing in. We don't put babies in to help in the nursery. God said, I want to grow you. I want to use you. Do something great. Let's stand.